Good morning, George Whitfield United Methodist Church, and welcome on this beautiful Sunday morning, February 14th. It is Transfiguration Sunday. We're so glad that you're joining us, whether you're joining us live or later on. Thank you so much for being here. We do have a few announcements this morning. The first is that Massachusetts residents age 75 plus are now eligible to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. There is a lot of information listed in your bulletin. Be sure to check that out. We would also like to remind you that my office hours will shift to Mondays and Wednesdays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Thursdays from 8 a.m. to 12 noon for the months of February and March. If you have an emergency outside of office hours, please call my cell phone, leave a message, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. Due to concerns about COVID-19, our Ash Wednesday service will take place remotely, accessible at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, February 17th. This service will be available at our website and over the phone. Be on the lookout for a special Ash Wednesday mailing so we can all participate together, even if from a distance. One more additional announcement. There will be some late breaking news being provided at 12 noon today, Sunday. That announcement will be made in a separate file on our website at georgewhitfieldumc.weebly.com. Or you can also check out our Facebook page. It will be posted there as well. Let us join now for a time of worship. Our opening hymn is Christ, Whose Glory Fills the Skies, UMH number 173. Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So something strange happened as I was preparing for this Sunday's service. When I first read the passage, I felt a rush of unexplained sorrow, and I couldn't put my finger on why. This is such a mysterious, moving text, but it doesn't really hint of anything foreboding. And as I meditated on the words before me, sifting through my emotions, a small detail stood out. In a moment of fear, the disciples dropped to the ground, and Jesus laid his hand upon them in comfort and peace. And then I remembered. A year ago, I preached from this very same text, and I focused on this tiny detail, Jesus' touch. I talked about how much we need touch because it releases serotonin and dopamine, a cocktail of brain chemistry that helps us feel like we belong, like we have purpose, like we're not alone. From a human perspective, this is all well and good. We all know that we need touch. And then mere weeks after I had preached this sermon, we entered what many would consider to be the darkest season of our lives when touch became an impossibility. COVID-19, an illness that was sweeping the globe, suddenly shuttered churches and businesses, and we were forced into our homes, distancing ourselves from loved ones and learning how to quarantine. Over the course of a single year, we ourselves have been transfigured. We've put on masks, donned gloves, and bathed in hand sanitizer. Our glasses fog up, our sight dims, and sometimes we don't even recognize our closest friends and family behind all of the safety gear. In the midst of uncertainty and the unknown, let's return to our passage this morning in which the disciples experienced something they had never experienced before, the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop. Filled with fear, the disciples fell to the ground and were calmed by the divine touch, the touch we need more than anything else. This divine touch was one that encouraged and empowered the disciples to get up and not be afraid. Not only was it a sign of compassion from Jesus, but it was also a call to action. And Jesus didn't sugarcoat the situation. He didn't say, "It's okay," or "Everything will be all right." Instead, he acknowledged the current reality and implored the disciples, despite the circumstances, to arise, to awake, to lift themselves up through the power of the Holy Spirit and move forward. Rather than be paralyzed by the situation, Jesus called them to a new reality through his touch. With these hands, Jesus not only comforted the disciples and gave them peace, but his actions also catalyzed the beginning of the worldwide church, the global movement of Christianity that is still growing and changing. And Jesus continues to empower us to rise, to create something new, to build the church and not be afraid. All of this in just a touch. Jesus' tangible and heartfelt touch for the disciples has more to do with his divinity than it does with molecular science of brain chemistry. It is in this human touch that the divine takes over, providing us with peace that passes all scientific understanding. It is with these hands that Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. It is with these same hands that Jesus sowed the seeds of peace and harvested the wheat that satisfies hunger. With these hands, love encapsulates all that Jesus embodies, while paying homage to the law and the prophets, the heritage of our Christian movement. In these moments of divine touch, we begin to realize that where we stand and where we encounter God is holy ground. It may be in the halls of the hospital after receiving difficult news. It may be in distanced gatherings outdoors where only our eyes are visible through heavy winter coats and medical masks. It may be around the dinner table, though surrounded by empty chairs, we know that we are not alone. It may be in the middle of the night when we can't sleep, so we pray instead. These ordinary places become holy ground, thin places where God is visible even in the most helpless and in the most beautiful of moments. It is in the tangible and the very molecular structure of our world that God's love pours forth like a hand on our shoulder, reassuring us that we are to rise and not be afraid. So here's a creative exercise for us this week. I invite you to take some time to imagine the day when we ourselves will be transfigured again in the light of Christ. What will it be like to take off our masks, to hug again, to sing and to feast together? Can you imagine that day? Because I wonder if in fact Jesus had been shining the entire time. And maybe it's our own eyes that have been transfigured. Maybe it's us. Amen. I invite you to join in prayer this morning. This is a prayer written by Reverend Gwyneth Arison, pastor of Bath United Methodist Church in Bath, Maine. Glorious God, bright morning star, light of the world, we ask you to shine your glorious light in all our darkness. Why, O Lord, do we so often try to hide from your healing light? We hide behind the veil of fear. We peek around the veil of doubt only to quickly move back out of sight. We put up curtains of protection to prevent anyone, even you, O Lord, from seeing us, really seeing us. We add thick linings to the veil of our sin to hide our shame, lest you see our pride or self-hatred, our addictions, which are idolatry, our prejudices and hypocrisy, our judgment and unforgiveness, or any other aspect of our brokenness. But God of glory, you promise, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We turn to you now, whether for the first time or for the thousandth time. We bask in the glory of your face and the transfiguration before us. We will not turn away. We will no longer hide behind curtains. We will cast those veils aside. We will rip them to shreds. We will no longer cower in fear, but fall into your arms, trusting in you alone. Together, we will gaze into the glory of your love. For through Christ, your new way gives us such confidence that we can be very bold. So shine in our hearts, Lord, that we might know your glory seen in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we reflect your light to encourage one another as your church. And let us be mirrors to the world, shining your glorious love into the dark world so that through us, you might lead many others to know your hope, freedom, and transformed life as we do. Shine, Jesus, shine. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is He Touched Me, UMH number 367. And just another quick reminder to tune back in at 12 noon today for a very important announcement. This announcement will be posted on our website, on our Facebook page, and a letter will follow later this week. And now, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever God may send you. May God guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May God bring you home rejoicing at the wonders God has shown you. May God bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.